Dear Diary, a lot has changed now that I'm 9. I thought Aunt Carmen was coming back to our house to live when she returned from Spain, but she decided to take a transfer to a college in Rhode Island, and I didn't know quite where that was. I knew that Rhode Island was on the other side of the U.S., and it seemed odd because every time she sent us a picture, she was wearing a brown shirt with the words written across the front. What did they teach you in Spain? That shirt cries for a wardrobe makeover. Since she had the hookup on these crazy looking shirts, I asked her to send me one with the word red written on the front. I used to run to the mailbox expecting to find a shirt that I requested, and I figured I'd never got it because they sold out because red was such a popular color. And then Jeremy called me an idiot for expecting such a shirt. Who knew? Brown should probably look into getting a shirt with their mascot on the front. It would make for such a better look. Ray had long since stopped coming over to her grandparents' house to visit, and I made the unfortunate accident asking her grandfather when Ray was coming back. I don't even know why I asked, because Ray and I weren't even friends anymore, but it kind of felt like the right thing to do after saying hi, and he just kind of waved me off in disgust and walked back into the house. And once again, Jeremy to the rescue. Apparently, Ray and her parents moved to Jonestown, and I think we all know what happened there. And it sickened me for a long time to think that someone my age could actually die like that. I only understood bits and pieces of what actually happened because I got the story secondhand from Jeremy, and he hardly retains anything that doesn't have anything to do with race cars or the 49ers. And for the longest time, I was scared to drink anything I couldn't see through. Everyone knows how much I enjoy my birthday, and turning 9 seemed to be the birthday party that had everyone else in mind. I wanted to go to Magic Mountain. We had to celebrate in August because if we went in September, the long trip would be too long because we'd have to miss school. It's okay. We're not learning rocket science until October. Sheesh. Anyway, my dad vetoed Magic Mountain because Disneyland had more things for my little sister to do. Whose birthday is this anyway? But at least I got to invite my cousin Renee to go with us. And somehow, somebody told Melissa she could come also. That drive down to Southern California was just long enough for me to plot Melissa's demise. And at the hotel, my mom pulled me aside and told me to adjust my attitude before she did it for me. But honestly, Melissa wasn't that bad. She was actually kind of fun, like the old Melissa I used to know. And the trip to Disneyland would have been an overall success if I didn't have an unexpected introduction from a visitor that would haunt me for most of my adult life. What the hell? Happy birthday to you, Avis. With all our love, signed, the birds and the bees. I thought after the birthday trip, Melissa and I would be in a good space. But as soon as we got back to school and around Melissa's old friends, Melissa turned into the same old school day Melissa. Here we go again. And I was even more uncomfortable being the 9-year-old still in Mary Jane's 2 ponytails and well beyond a training bra. I looked like a poster child for someone's sexual role play. This year we were assigned to Miss Marina's class. And I still go to reading class and math class according to grade level. So I go to Sister Arlette for 7th grade reading, and math is with the 6th graders in Miss Carnegie's class. I should have prepared myself to be expecting the unexpected, because the unexpected went to school with me, if you know what I'm saying. And if you've ever gone to Catholic school, trust me, there are a lot of rules you have to follow. Sometimes I think they make up the rules to see how compliant everyone's going to be. Now, sure, I knew I was going to lose a privilege if I went to the restroom during class, but I tried to follow the rules. I went at lunch, and I've got to go again. So, okay, sue me. Sister Arlette and I are not getting off to the best start. It did take me a little long, I admit it, to get back to class, but that whole thing of calling me out in front of the class was totally uncalled for.
What took you so long to go to that restroom? Students, raise your hands if it has taken you that long to go to the restroom. Bring that backpack here.
Oh my gosh, what does she think I was doing? Smoking in the restroom? So I walked up towards Sister Arlette. She damn near yanked the backpack out of my hand and ran through it like she was some sort of hungry raccoon. She opened the paper bag that I had in my backpack for you know what?
Is this what took you so long? Go sit down.
Do you know what it's like getting scolded in front of everyone that there's something in your backpack that Sister Arlette and you saw? Everybody wants to know what's in the backpack.
There is absolutely nothing to see here, folks. Thank you very much.
The ride home from school was not the usual "how was your day" chat I usually had with my mom. Call me emotional, but in the process of telling my mom about Sister Arlette, I went from sad to mad, right back to sad again. And it must have been something I said, because my mom U-turned that car and headed straight back to the school. My mom grabbed my little sister and she headed straight in the office. Melissa hollered out and ran over, "What's going on? Why'd you come back to school?" In my head, "Oh, now we're talking at school? Get out of my face." I just shrugged my shoulders and told her I didn't know and I would have to tell her later on. But it must have been serious because Father walked my mom right over to Sister Arlette's classroom. And that night after dinner, when I was supposed to be taking my bath, I heard my mom on the phone with Miss Randall. If I could only find a reason to go in that den so I could eavesdrop. Partially listening to that one-way conversation, it sounded like that conversation was juicy. Early the next morning, my mom came in to see how I was feeling. And no surprise, I wasn't feeling all that great. But part of it could have been the embarrassment from Sister Arlette. Anyway, my mom said I didn't have to go to school that day. Melissa came by after school and brought me my homework. And we could only talk for a minute because Miss Randall was waiting out in the car. And I tried to explain to her what was going on, but Melissa didn't get it. She doesn't get a lot of things. This is going to take a little bit longer to explain than I thought, so we'll have to do this at some other time. Do you want me to explain what you have to do for homework?
No, Melissa. You stay in Miss Marina's class all day.
As if. I waved to Miss Randall, and she hollered back, "We'll see you guys on Friday."
What?
Oh boy, not again. By Friday, I was physically feeling better, but I was in no way wanting to go to the Randalls that night, so I was trying to play it low, but I started feeling sick to my stomach, and I can't stomach seeing Malcolm again, especially at his house. I feel trapped. Why me? By the time we got to the Randalls, there were a lot of people there. The adults were in the den listening to music and comedy albums, and the kids were in the game room. But there was something different about their house. Wait, I haven't seen Malcolm. But he could be lurking in a closet somewhere, or peeking out of his room, waiting for me to go down the hall to the restroom. And I'm curious, but I don't want to look like I care. I just want to know where he is, because I kind of have to go to the bathroom. And I asked Richie, "Where was Malcolm?"
"Why do you care? You like him or something?"
Oh my God, Richie is as dumb as Jeremy. No wonder they get along. I probably should have asked Melissa in the first place. Melissa pulled me into the hallway away from everybody. She said Malcolm had problems and went to live with their grandmother.
"Where is that?"
"Tennessee."
"Thank you, Jesus. I have never been so happy to hear the word Tennessee in all my life."
Back at school on Monday, I was bombarded with questions from what seemed to be the entire school. Melissa said you were not at school because you were sick and ended up bleeding. And by lunch recess, my absence was rumored to be I was in the hospital. Before I could answer one person, someone else was coming up to me to see if I was okay. I mean, was there something sick about me wanting to feel that everybody was finally caring about me? I mean, some of the kids that were coming up to me, I didn't even know, let alone that they knew my name. Maybe I withheld the truth a little about the hospital part, but it's not totally unbelievable. I was sick, and Lord knows, I didn't want to tell them what was really going on with me. I mean, back in biblical times, they would damn near banish a woman to the edge of the earth. And technically, I had been living my life as someone being banished for no other reason than just being me. So do you honestly think I'm going to stop these folks from finally caring about me? Screw that. I got friends. That means yes, I'm going to ride this wave out and see where it leads me. That's right. Welcome, friends. Introducing your newest friend on the block, Avis LaRue. Dun, 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 dun. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Unbelievable Tales of Avis LaRue. And thank you for sharing the podcast with your friends and family. I hope you will be able to join me again next week for another episode. And as the distribution continues to grow, you can catch this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, iTunes, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio, just to name a few. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and TikTok. In the meantime, please subscribe to receive notifications of upcoming episodes, videos, and more. You'll find the subscription link in my bio. And until next week, stay safe, stay secure.